This is The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Civic engagement is the foundation of a democracy. For a representative government to work, the governed need to speak up, and no voice is more powerful than the vote. But there's also speaking up in meetings, letters to the editor, protest marching, and putting a sign up in the front yard. And then there's the civic engagement outside of politics, where people volunteer to feed the homeless, teach someone to read, and write a check for a good cause. We have a lot of civic engagement in San Antonio. But if we put a finer point on it, highlight how people can get involved and bring about positive change, then there's no stopping the progress that can be achieved. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. But first, I spoke yesterday with Mayor Ron Nuremberg about his thoughts on civic engagement.
The most precious resource in a democracy, and unfortunately one of the most scarce, is an active and informed citizen. Having citizens involved with their government and informed citizens making decisions that benefit the public, our democracy really ceases to exist. As we think about the next generation and the challenges that we'll face as a community, all the work that we need to do to ensure a strong and resilient society that we can enjoy and prosper in will be made by the leaders who are rising up tomorrow. So civic engagement, active citizenship is an extremely important part of our society, and unfortunately increasingly rare.
So the premise is you get more people involved and we will have better responsive government, better policies. I mean, not everyone actually agrees with that. There are people who think that that the best decisions are made by those in charge, and just leave it to us folks.
To some extent, that's why we have a representative democracy, because we charge those people we choose as a community to represent us with spending the time necessary to do the homework to understand the facts, and we put our trust in them to make decisions in our best interest, especially on issues that we don't have time to thoroughly do the work ourselves. So I would say that when it comes to selecting who those individuals are, more participation is always better. I mean, it is a truth in politics, for anyone who have observed it, active and regular voters are the ones who are visited, who are called, who are requested for input. So they are the ones who have the loudest voices at the table. And so when it comes to being an active voter, it's in our best interest as a community to be a representation of that community, that we have as many people involved in voting and elections of those representatives as possible.
When we have these community conversations on the air here on The Source on Texas Public Radio, and then there are other electronic media outlets to have their own conversations on the air, and people kind of get trapped in feedback loops. So how do we make sure that we try to get as many voices as we possibly can, diverse voices, and not just hear from just the same old people with a sort of a predictable point of view?
Well, that's one of the unfortunate consequences of the media landscape, the social media landscape especially, that we're in now, in which people tend to isolate themselves among interest groups and people who basically confirm the sometimes misinformed opinions that they have about particular current affairs. To have a representative democracy function properly, we need to make sure that we tear down the walls between groups of people so that, diverse groups of people can have conversations about tough issues and come to compromises that best represent the community as a whole rather than one specific interest group.
Well, right now we're kind of having an experiment about that right now, apparently, from a group, the San Antonio Professional Firefighters Association. They're doing some civic engagement. They're doing some petitions to change the city charter. So what's wrong with that?
Well, they're not doing civic engagement. In fact, what they're doing is misleading public and sometimes intimidating them to sign a petition that would basically make the isolation of a special interest group the rule of the day. By manipulating the petition process that has been part of our city charter for decades, as well as forcing the specific interests of an interest group, i.e. this union boss, onto the rest of the taxpaying public, they make it more likely that isolated groups of people with a specific interest that does not represent the public will become law. And so their charge is not civic engagement. It's to shape city government as we know it to suit their aims. I couldn't think of a more deformed way of creating a system of government than what they're pursuing.
So you're saying they're acting in bad faith when they're talking about trying to improve civic engagement and involvement in the city?
Absolutely are. When it comes to, again, participating in local elections to select people who will represent us and put in the time and the effort to make decisions, sometimes very tough decisions on behalf of the whole public and not a special interest group, that's the system of government they're trying to undermine. There will always be a voice for citizens who are interested at the polls, and we vote out people who we disagree with on a fairly regular basis. And that is a system of government that has made us a strong community. As more people do not participate in it, though, we allow special interest groups like this union boss to create the system that best suits them and not the public.
So you say union boss, that's Chris Steele, president of the San Antonio Professional Firefighters Association. He's
Correct.
Been in that position for 15 years. The union is gathering signatures now to try to make three changes to the city's charter. One of the changes would place restrictions on the position of city manager, including a salary cap and a term limit. And then also they want to make it easier for voters to change the city ordinances. Instead of requiring collections of 75,000 signatures within 40 days of a petition, they want 20,000 signatures within 180 days. But this would go through a process. I mean, so first they got to gather the signatures, then they got to get the signatures checked, and then this goes to the voters to decide whether or not that we would want this. And in that process, there'd be more and more awareness of whether or not these are good policies and positive for the city. And if you believe in all the things that we've been talking about, then that civic engagement would probably prevail and say, no, thank you, these are not good ideas. Or maybe, yeah, these are good ideas.
Except when you have special interest groups pouring in millions of dollars to hire people from outside of town to push these petitions and mislead people to signing them. The state legislature lowered the bar on the number of signatures that would be required to 20,000, regardless of the size of the city, several years ago, unbeknownst to most people. Otherwise, they would have to do, according to our charter, which is 10% of the electorate. Imagine that, 10%, one out of 10 people who are registered to vote in this community, being able to change the city charter. That's a small number of people that can really change the face of city government to suit their aims. They've lowered the bar even further, and what this union boss is attempting to do is lower it even further for everything that we do in the city with regard to appropriations of resources, to utility rates, to even the ordinances that we pass. So, for instance, this city council 4 or 5 years ago passed a non-discrimination ordinance that really makes sure that we disallow discrimination based on a number of things, including gender identity, veteran status, and so forth, from public accommodations. That's a good policy. It wasn't without its controversy. Had this ordinance been in place for 180 days, we'd be subject to a referendum to withdraw that very important ordinance, that very important law. If we had this type of government where special interests rule the day, at the foundations of democracy, we'd be looking at a vastly different country with regard to civil rights and all the other advancements we've made, despite the controversy that we're good for people. This is wrong. It's wrong, and it's wrong.
So they're calling it San Antonio First, this movement that they have, and some people have called that a cynical title because that's not, you know, some people challenge whether or not that's actually what this is about. And they have these petition gatherers at voting places around town, and they give people the clipboard to sign and say this is to give better salary and benefits to firefighters. And on the surface,
which is not true.
But on the surface, that's what people say. Yeah, I want to take care of our firefighters. Right. These are awesome guys. But you're saying that's not true.
If you're misleading the public to acquire a vote, that is the original sin of politics. And that is exactly what they're intending to do. And, you know, unfortunately, a union boss with his agenda is putting himself first, not San Antonio. And, you know, it's wrong. And what we need to do is make sure that people are informed, which is extremely important when someone is threatening to manipulate the very system of governance that we have. Misinformation and intimidation to get someone to sign a petition or to vote a certain way is not the way we should ever do business or handle our democracy.
Just on the issue that they're tackling, that they know that is a hot-button issue in San Antonio, and they talk about our city manager, Cheryl Sculley, and saying we should have term limits on Cheryl Sculley. We should cap her salary. So what would that mean for San Antonio if we had to have term limits on a city manager? Would we be able to find qualified city managers who would come and want to come work here, even knowing that they would only be here a certain amount of time?
So first, the irony in Chris Steele's position, and I know he has a vengeance for Cheryl Sculley, is that this proposal would only affect the future. It would not affect Cheryl Sculley at all. It wouldn't be retroactive. So that's the unfortunate irony in this. But absolutely would impact the quality of life for San Antonio because we need to have strong management. And the proposal would limit the salary, the compensation of the city's top executive that currently manages a employee organization of 12,000 people on a $2.7 billion budget. Would limit that salary to less than half of what some city managers in the country are making, despite the fact that this is the second largest city manager form of government city in America. It would quickly handcuff the city council and the citizens of San Antonio in terms of the management of the city in a very, very negative way.
So back to the topic, civic engagement, and trying to figure out ways to increase civic engagement and get people talking and discussing and what the city ought to be doing and where we ought to be putting our resources. We have limited resources, infinite need. Is this what we want people talking about and instead of coming up with charter alterations?
No, the other thing that this is doing, this petition drive is doing, is it is going to slam the door shut on the public's request for charter reform. We have a charter reform process, a charter commission that is composed of citizens of San Antonio that have gotten public input on things that we would want to see changed in our charter. That process is underway. And if this petition actually is successful and goes onto a ballot, it closes the door by state statute. It closes the door on any further charter reforms for another 2 years. So it would be short-circuiting a process the public has done in good faith. Yes, there is a process for doing this in good faith. It's coming to the table, being part of the Charter Review Commission process and doing it that way, which thousands of members of the public have already engaged in. This is a backdoor to set the city hall ablaze, which is the people's house. And, you know, it's wrong.
That was Mayor Ron Nuremberg talking about civic engagement. When we come back from the break, we open up the phone lines, 210-614-8980. We're going to hear from SA 2020 about what can happen when people get involved and they're inspired to be informed and vote, use their time, talent, and dollars to move the city forward. Again, the number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay tuned. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We are talking about civic engagement in the SA 2020 Impact Report. We're joined by Molly Cox, the president and CEO of SA 2020. Becca Brune, she is the president and chief operating officer of the San Antonio Area Foundation. And Laura McCarron, she is the executive director of CI Now. And she can talk about the numbers behind these voting trends and other trends that we have in civic engagement in San Antonio. And you're invited to call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. So Molly Cox, we've had you here multiple times talking about the report, the impact report, the report card for San Antonio. We've talked about many of the issues that confront the city, issues of education and transportation and job creation, all sorts of issues in that area. And one thing that always comes up is how can we make positive change and get people involved?
Yes, period, the end. First of all, let me say, I'm going to miss you. I've been here weekly for 5 weeks. I'm going to miss you.
Well, we'll get together sometime.
All right, that's fine. I mean, I think the idea behind, I love that we're ending sort of this five-week discussion of SA 2020 with civic engagement. It is literally the foundation for how SA 2020 was created, was people coming to the table and saying, what can we do in the next 10 years to make our city even better for everyone that lives here? It then shifted to, we want to see shifts in family well-being and education and economic competitiveness and environmental sustainability and arts and culture. And all of those things rely very specifically on people. SA 2020 says all the time that we are results-driven, we're data-informed, and we're people-powered. There is no way that we can reach the vision that the community set forth for itself without people getting involved.
When there's a smart way to do that, mm-hmm. And we're able to dissect and drill down and figure out what needs to happen. If we can inspire the population,
sure.
Show them that when they do get involved, good things do happen. That you think that SA 2020 and other people like you can be a catalyst for San Antonio to bring about monumental, dramatic change, a long-term sustainable change for the city?
Yeah, I mean, I know that we say it all the time. When we work together towards collective goals, positive community change happens. And that sounds super like, oh, that's so pie in the sky. It's not. We actually prove it, right? Through community indicators, 70% of them are better today than they were previously. And it's because we set a goal and began working towards it. Now, in civic engagement, we're specifically tracking voter turnout, volunteerism rate, philanthropic giving, and the diversity of elected officials, elected and appointed officials. But more specifically, we're seeing shifts happen across the city because we've ultimately set goals, worked together to achieve them, and are actively pursuing that.
So what are those shifts?
Across the board or in civic engagement?
In civic engagement.
In civic engagement, we're seeing, I always make this comment, voter turnout in the last municipal election was 13.3%, which, insert sad trombone here, right? Except it's more than doubled since 2011, right? We started at 6.73% voter turnout in the year 2011, and we've now more than doubled that in the last municipal election. And we're seeing that in such a fantastic way that it's increasing enough that we're nearly at the goal, which I felt was a not as significantly bold goal, and yet we're seeing that it's a hard across the board, across the nation, across cities, municipal voter turnout is low, period. And we're seeing major shifts here, which is amazing.
And there's an election right now.
There's
primaries.
The primary election is going on right now, and I'm going to plug it just because I can. ILoveSanAntonio.org is sort of a one-stop resource for everything that you need for primary voting. Voting is a habit. If you vote in primary and you vote again in runoff and you vote again in midterms and you vote again in municipal, it becomes a habit, right? This is a good habit. We don't have to stop voting like you have to stop smoking. You keep voting, right? But you have to build that habit.
And some people have that habit more than others. So let's go to Laura McCarron. She's the executive director of CI Now. And you can look at the data and we can see who is voting in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. And, like many other cities across the country, voters tend to skew older than the general voting age population, higher income, higher education.
So there's a certain type of person that always drives on every Tuesday. They'll drive past the school just to make sure there's an election that they're not missing, you know. So they go vote and they vote and so they have, according to their demographic versus their voice, it may be outsized.
Yeah, the Portland State University did an analysis in 2015, or who voted for mayor in 2015, and 31% of voters over 65 compared to 4% of voters of 18 to 34 voted. So that is a really disproportionate voice for the older population. But like I said, we do see some improvements from 25 to 2017, not in the demographic specifically, but overall our registered voters went up by 9%. Our turnout went up by over 6%. So those may sound like modest numbers, but like Molly said, they're part of a larger trend. And if we keep on doing that, we're going to get to someplace good.
And so, and who are the new voters? Do we know who's suddenly starting to register? I mean, we're seeing a lot of activity with younger individuals.
And no, but I would actually say that voter registration is one of those classic areas where when people come together to get something done, i.e. more people registered to vote, they can get it done.
You're seeing things like voter registration tables at Black Panther movie screenings and all sorts of events where people are coming together and getting enthused and they're saying, you know, here's let's take this fantasy story and make it real, you know, vote and exercise your rights. I mean, is that something that you can tap into, Molly?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's happening across, again, when you start to see things like voter registration tables at movies or today, I know we briefly spoke about it before we got on the air, but like even things like the Free Speech Coalition, who basically said, this is a First Amendment right. We want to do something. So getting together and then coming before council and talking about that space. I know we're talking more specifically about voter turnout, and there are so many complex issues surrounding voter turnout, right? It's not just about who the demographics are. It's also who's able to vote. When are we having voting? How are we getting people there? How are we ultimately not suppressing voter turnout? And that's a whole big, long conversation to have outside of even figuring out civic engagement, right?
Right. So we got an email from Denise. I typed this on the way to vote. I have an idea mm-hmm. to increase voter turnout. Please invest in high school and college students.
Yes.
If they feel empowered to vote, they will. We do know that UTSA, they have a movement out there trying to empower people and get them to vote. There's a lot of efforts. They're supposed to get high school seniors to register to vote. We're going to talk more about that when we come back from a break. If you called in, we dropped your call. We were having some problems with our system. You know, try again. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And again, so Molly Cox reaching out to high schoolers. Any words there?
Yes. And I mean, talk about an organization like Move San Antonio, right? Registering young people, helping them sort of feel like this is their space as well. We're currently seeing a trend across the nation of high school students standing up and saying, we've got to go vote. We have to get our voices heard. We are seeing it happen more and more.
These Parkland kids.
Exactly. That's what I'm
phenomenal.
Saying.
Phenomenal.
Right. We have a San Antonio Youth Commission here in our community who's thinking about creating a youth policy agenda. It's happening. We just have to also be okay with incremental change.
So when we come back from the break, we'll talk about how you can make big changes, also incremental changes over a long time. That becomes a big change with the San Antonio Area Foundation. Again, the number to call in is 210-614-8980. The source continues after this.
California reduced its maternal mortality rate by more than half.
From 14.0 to 6.2, a fraction of Texas, in 4 years.
Maternal mortality rates in Texas are amongst the highest in the country. What lessons can Texas learn from California? This story, plus an attorney walks us through the often confusing legal language relating to immigration. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about civic engagement in San Antonio and how that is the secret sauce to move the city forward when people get inspired and they show up to vote and go to rallies and they donate to causes that they care about. Good things happen in the city. So let's turn over to Becca Brune. She is the president and chief operating officer for the San Antonio Area Foundation. And that's an organization that makes grants and it funds individuals, families, businesses, charitable causes, from these people to charitable causes. And you provide millions of dollars to organizations here in San Antonio year to year. So can you talk about that?
Sure. Although I'm partial, I do think philanthropy lends itself to be a platform for civic engagement. And truly is, you know, an opportunity to bind, I think, community together. And it's beyond, if I define it, beyond grant making, looking at your time, your treasure, and your talents, right? And it's this opportunity where individuals can put forth, whether it's their wealth, whether it's their time, whether it's their energy and engagement, to align and engage in issues in our community. And oftentimes through that, right, is a donation or a grant to a cause, but what it does, it really creates and stimulates some attention around complex social issues in our community. And aggregating that, right, begins to draw attention and momentum to solve problems. And it creates political will and ability to do that beyond just the grant, right?
So the San Antonio Area Foundation, you do make these million-dollar donations to get grants to organizations. What do you look at if there is a wide base of support for the organization in the community? If hundreds or thousands of others of people have given checks of $35, $50, what does that say to you when that happens?
Yeah, it's a great question, because right now we're in this space where I think there's a lot of momentum in the community around education. And just looking at our own portfolio, whether it's our donor advice funds or looking at our strategic initiatives that are based in education efforts, whether it's high school completion or scholarships, we've actually taken a step back to say, wow, not only are there dollars and engagement, but there's a lot of political will that's behind this that we as the Area Foundation, beyond just the grant making, could be a space for a convener and to stimulate dialogue. To really begin to create some solutions in education in that area and bring together alignment among these different networks and donors and partners to begin to align and channel that.
So when average people like myself, I don't have $1 million checkbook, you know, but I will write it. donate $50 here, there, Alpha House, all organizations in San Antonio that say, yeah, these people are awesome. I want to help them. Does that show up on your radar and saying there is broad-based support and they're getting funds from little guys, and so we're going to pay special attention to them and see what we can do to help them a little bit more?
Well, I think a really good example of that is Big Give, and we're right about to launch that. March 22nd is Big Give, and it's anywhere from, you know, $25 to $500 to $1,000 to $1,500, and it is exactly that. It creates this no wrong door, and it's an opportunity for individuals of large wealth or small wealth, right, to engage and align to an issue or an organization that's addressing a passion of theirs and a cause in community.
So the Big Give's coming up. That's on March 22nd?
22nd, yes.
Okay. And so how do people, get involved with the Big Give? How do you find out what's going on that?
Yeah, there's a full day. It's a full day of online giving. You can go to, it's thebiggivesa.org.
Yeah.
And you can find any one of, like, I think it's 600-ish nonprofits
there's
who are currently participating.
There's something for everyone.
There's literally something for everyone. And that's really sort of the space, right? The idea, it always makes me a little bit nervous when we use the word philanthropy, right? Because we all think that it's somebody who has billions and millions of dollars sitting in a corner office somewhere. Like, we are all capable We are all capable of being philanthropic. Philanthropists, all of us. And in fact, Giving USA did a study that basically said, so there's $390 billion that was invested into nonprofits in 2016. 72% of that giving came from just individuals who were giving because they felt compelled to move a cause, right? So the idea that you can give $5, you can give $20, I think more specifically it is, what speaks to you? What do you see in our community that needs your time, talent, treasure, energy? And how can you focus that energy into a space that allows for momentum?
Now, you do have increased philanthropic giving as one of the data points that you're following in the SA 2020 impact report.
We do.
And it's not a gold star.
It's not. And I think it's important, right? Number one, we know that the result we want is to have an accountable and transparent sort of community, and that includes getting involved in multiple ways. But there's a stronger story to philanthropic giving than just it's going down. And I'm going to toss that over to our data partner, Laura, who can even go further into those numbers.
Thanks, man. Well, first of all, this is one of the areas where we're really limited in the available data. There's not a lot of good available data on giving of your time and your talent and your treasure for the average individual. And the indicator that we track for SA 2020 is tied to tax returns. Does the IRS register that you gave charitable deductions? Well, that donations. You can imagine that it's only when you're giving a whole lot that it's worth it to go through that calculation and documentation and so forth. So we see that it's higher income people who are reporting that, and we miss all the people who give $5 to animal welfare or something at church. The current population survey out of the Census Bureau finds that 44% or so of people gave $25 or more in the last year, compared to that IRS number of just a little above 16%. So it's a hard number to get a handle on, and it may get worse. Mm-hmm.
Because of the changes to the tax system. Mm-hmm. It's not that people are going to not give as much, or we don't know. It's just
less
gonna get
incentive
dark.
To fool with the paperwork and report it.
So the number to call in if you want to talk about your giving and what you decide that you're going to give to, what your calculus is, what your algorithm in your brain is, but you know what finally gets you to give. We would love to hear that. You know, the number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. But you know, I'm finding more that, you know, I give on online to you know these organizations, these apps, or you donate to causes, and you say, oh, I want to help some inner city kids go see the Black Panther, and so you know, I'll throw $25. Their way, you know, while I'm watching the movie myself. And you know, and I think all that adds up too, mm-hmm. but it doesn't move the needle as far as you're able to measure it.
Well, it's also, again, data is only part of the story, right? So I'm happy that we're sort of getting into these numbers a tiny bit. It's the same thing around volunteerism, right? Volunteerism is tracked as people who are actually volunteering their time through the Corporation for National and Community Service, right? It doesn't include, for example, the person on a neighborhood block who may take in kids after school because they don't have a job, but they're not counting that as volunteerism hours, right?
Right.
It doesn't count for if I went to my church over the weekend and served soup, perhaps, right, if I didn't track that. So part of the looking at the indicators as going up or down is, while important, we want to know what it looks like overarchingly, is also asking why. Why is this not moving? Is this the right measure? What has changed over the course of the last few days or years or months? But then also specifically saying, and then where can I put my energy, right? So if I'm looking at these as results, if what we really want to see is us having the greatest educational turnaround in the nation, or having being the best city to raise a family, or having the healthiest residents, what am I doing in those areas to ultimately move that result?
But there are obstacles mm-hmm. for people. And they say, well, that sounds great. I would love to do that. I don't know how to start.
Yeah.
You know, How do we get there? I think people are waiting for that inspiration. We know that there are so many people in San Antonio who are just loaded. I mean, not loaded in the sense of they have all this resources, but they're loaded in the sense they're just looking for that trigger
yeah.
to help them move forward. And they need that inspiration.
Agreed.
So Molly Cox, give it to them.
Great. I'm going to start singing Whitney Houston. I believe the children are our future. Let's say this. SA2020.org/300. If it starts to feel overwhelming, where you're like, I don't even know where to begin, SA2020.org/300 gives you literally 300 ways that you could potentially get involved in some capacity to start moving the needle. That's one. Number two would be to go to SA2020.org/partners and find one of 133 nonprofit organizations who are currently working on the ground level to move the needle on the indicators. And then number three would be, you have nothing else to do, March 22nd, put it in your calendar right now. You will go to thebiggiveSA.org and find one of 600 organizations that speak to your soul and give $5. And then just stay involved.
Right. And like we said, there's something for everyone. There's probably something that's going to speak to your personal story, something that you care very deeply about, something that will remind you of a loved one that you miss dearly, and you start looking at that list of people and you're saying, here's a medical organization, here's an organization that's dealing with people who are battling addiction, here are organizations that are trying to help our overpopulation of cats and dogs in San Antonio. We have all homeless, there's no shortage of people who need your help. So when the big give comes along, take a look, see what speaks to you. And right now, we'd love to hear what you have to say about that. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. And back to Becca Brune, President and Chief Operating Officer for the San Antonio Area Foundation. This evolution of the big give, you know, it's a great story.
You know, it's interesting. We had this conversation earlier today, a group of us, and we were talking about, you know, the big give isn't just one day, right? I think what we're really trying to do is create a culture of philanthropy that's year round. So the $5 on that one day doesn't stop there. How do you begin to create the platform that begins to talk about how philanthropy is part of civic engagement, right? Full circle. How is it public service? And really creating a dialogue in community that philanthropy should be year round.
Okay, we'll talk more about that when we come back from this break. 210-614-8980. The Source continues. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about civic engagement. People power is what's going to make San Antonio an even greater city than it is right now. You hold the key to turning things around. We know we've got some challenges. As we said earlier in the program, there are infinite needs but a finite amount of resources. But one thing we don't have a shortage of are people who care. So when you get involved, good things can happen. The number to call in to tell us about what you want to see happening with volunteers and philanthropy and getting involved and voting in mass. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Eric has called in. And Eric, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I have a nonprofit. I am a 501c3, and I'm a small organization. And I was wondering, how do I get my organization, on a list for the big give? How do I get noticed? Is a big give, in other words.
All right, Eric, thank you for the call. And okay, you have to register.
With biggivesa.org.
There's a process.
There is. You just go, but I can't, I have no idea because I don't run it. I'm looking over at Becca. But the idea really is that you register online and then you get submitted in and then you're on that form.
It's probably too late to get involved in this year's
I can't remember
big
what
give
the registration date
because
is.
Because they do a lot of pre-production.
They do. But go to the biggivesa.org and check in there. And then you can also log in to the Nonprofit Council, which is another fantastic resource for small and big nonprofit organizations. So it's TNCouncil.org is another member agency for nonprofits who are looking for resources, and they also help run the Big Give in partnership with the Area Foundation.
All right. So, Eric, I hope that helps you out. And here's David. And David, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm glad that y'all are covering this. I think civic engagement is a great way to improve our city. And I am, as the previous caller said, a CEO of a small nonprofit. And I've applied to become a SA 2020 partner and for grant high school completion, annual responsiveness grant for the Area Foundation. But as a small nonprofit, we don't have like a full-time grant writer. So I'm just interested hearing from y'all is how do small nonprofits really engage and gain access to these resources that the city and large organizations like y'all have?
Okay, David, thank you for that great call. You know, so small nonprofits, I mean, that's really where that's just incredible. That's just the molecular structure of how we're going to make big changes in San Antonio.
It is. I mean, nonprofit agencies are the way in which we sort of make moves in our community. And I'm always intrigued by this idea around small nonprofits. I say this out loud. There are 3 staff members at SA 2020. CI now has 4 staff members, right? Small nonprofits are across the board making some major moves. And I think the Area Foundation has been doing some incredible things around that space and small nonprofits and capacity building.
So thanks, Molly. One of our core areas of expertise and commitment to community is to really grow nonprofits through our strengthening nonprofit work, which is a series of
classes and trainings and platforms for convening cohorts of organizations to learn and cross-share from each other. And so, one, absolutely encourage you to go to our website and to link into any of those opportunities. The other is, it's not just large nonprofits, it's small nonprofits. And I think one of the things that we pride ourselves on is how do we begin to build that capacity so the nonprofits that are at the grassroots level can grow and scale and continue to do the great work that you're doing. And I think the benefit of the network through the Area Foundation of our nonprofits is this idea of cross-learning and cross-pollination and connecting larger nonprofits with smaller nonprofits. And moving forward, that really has become a greater focus for us, realizing that as funders, and not just the Area Foundation, but I think the nucleus of funders here in our community are raising the bar, right, in wanting to see performance and numbers and data. And we are committed to not leaving behind nonprofits and providing them with the skills, the tools, the analytics to be able to do that. That's incredibly important.
And so people may be thinking, I have always wanted to start a nonprofit. And I see a need, maybe in my neighborhood, maybe citywide, or maybe in my unincorporated area outside of the city. We need resources. We need to get organized. Can you help me start a nonprofit?
So actually, at the Area Foundation, we have a course offered various times throughout the year called "To Be or Not to Be," which is exactly that. It is an extensive multi-hour course on all of the ins and outs of becoming a nonprofit and really looking at, a staging of, are you ready for that? And if you're not, here are the things that you need to do. And oftentimes people walk away with an incredible checklist and they're ready to hit the ground running and that's what they want to do. Other times, scratch their head and say, you know what, maybe not. And how do we link them to other opportunities or conversations to grow them to get there? So, yeah.
Do we know how many nonprofits we have in San Antonio, and especially how that number would compare to other, comparable cities?
The numbers have been up to 3,000 in Bexar County, 3,000 nonprofit agencies in Bexar County alone. The economic impact of the nonprofit sector could be an entire show unto itself. And I think it's because we think of nonprofits as sort of these like feel good, squishy organizations, as opposed to businesses who are made to make our communities better. And I think the conversations around sort of starting or opening a nonprofit always comes from a space of, I want to help. And I always say, we get those calls all the time at SA 2020. I always say, have you done your homework? Is there an organization that currently exists that you could be giving your time or talent or energy to that would feed that passion in a way that doesn't allow, let's just open up another nonprofit?
So you're going to have to play well with others and look around and find out that there is someone doing already exactly what you want to do. Mm-hmm. So instead of becoming a nonprofit, you can become a volunteer.
Yes, or become a program manager, or become a donor, or become a board member, or join. Yeah, I mean, there's so many ways to get involved, and I think it's that first step that's always the hardest, but if you talk to a volunteer, if you talk to a board member, if you talk to a donor, and research shows stress levels go down, mental health is better, you are a more well-rounded person. If you talk to any research shows that young people who get involved early, voting, volunteerism, philanthropic giving, become lifelong engaged civic participants.
So just to piggyback on that, I think this is really important because a lot of times, I guess the question becomes, because there are such a plethora of nonprofits in our community, are there nonprofits not connected and meeting the needs of what's at the grassroots level happening in community? And I think part of that civic engagement and that voice is, then how do you reshape and reinform the nonprofits to provide services that are actually connected to meeting the needs? I'm not saying that they're not. I'm just saying that's another way I think someone's passion and voice, not just through volunteerism, but to help shape and guide the services that are being provided.
Now, there's another data point that you're looking at with the SA 2020 Impact Report in regards to civic engagement, and that's increased diversity of elected officials. And that was something that we're seeing progress.
we are seeing progress. That was something that came up pretty early on in the conversations during the visioning process around sort of representation, right? So if we have commissions and boards and elected officials, are they representative of the community that they serve? And again, I will punt over to our data partner, Laura, who literally just pulled out a table.
Yeah, so I know we've seen it on city council, but, you know, elected officials are, but it's more than that. So what else we got?
Right, yeah, and appointed too. You know, the indicators tracking people that are on city boards. So, you know, we're doing okay, but we still have, for example, the Hispanic population in San Antonio, you know, 6 in 10, 63%, and on city boards, more like 38%. 37%.
So it's still lagging.
So a long way to go there. Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking about people who are elected and people who are appointed. But people don't say, I want to be appointed. You don't get appointed. So is that something that's holding it back?
Well, it's either holding it back or it's that they don't understand the purpose behind a board or commission,
you
right?
So that's
it's another position also, if you're thinking about it, again, more complexly, is the city of San Antonio also making sure that they are saying out loud, this is why this commission exists, here's why we need your help, and here's how you can apply. And is it only online? Do we offer opportunities for people to engage in person or in printed copies? So there's a multitude of spaces around there that we need to be thinking through.
So how do you, is that just a communication or a recruitment?
It's interesting, right, that we're talking sort of very specifically about that, right? If we think through sort of the city of San Antonio's mission, which is to deliver their actual mission statement, to deliver quality services towards a vision of prosperity, the idea around the SA 2020 Civic Engagement vision statement that was created by the community at large says that we are both accountable to and the government is accountable to us. So we're accountable to our government and our government is accountable back, and there's transparency there. So this is a two-way street, right? It's community stepping up to serve and the city of San Antonio making sure that they're ready for service.
Right, but we talk about the community and who is the community, and they've got some, they say the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and who's going to be shouting, and we want this and we want that, and we've got people who are busy all the time just
trying
to make ends meet. And so I don't have time to go to meetings. I barely have time to survive. We got to figure out a way to provide ease of access from people and get them involved, especially when they're stressed out and they need to relax.
Right. Absolutely. Are we doing everything that we can in the city of San Antonio? And I say we because I feel like we all are part of the city of San Antonio. Are we doing everything we can at the city of San Antonio organization to make sure that it feels accessible to me as a person, that I can participate in after I've been working all day or for 3 days or on, you know, long hours? And that's important. This has to be a two-way street or a five-way street or a 17-way street.
So we got to figure out ways that people can do this in a way that doesn't increase their already stress load. And watching city council can be fun sometimes.
I watch every B session. It's so fun.
It's entertainment. All right. I want to thank everyone for tuning in, for joining us this afternoon as we talk about the SA 2020 Impact Report. Molly, we're going to miss you. It's been great.
I know. I'm going to cry.
Okay. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.